Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 498. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello. I had something fancy to say, but I can't remember what it was.
Well,
it's a shame.
We have two more. We have one more episode before 500, so we can practice next week.
Get that intro that we've done like 10,000 times.
Jeff is here as well.
Hi.
And so is Earl.
Hello, everybody.
Earl had
God, that's terrifying.
Yeah, scary, but fancy. He was prepared. We're back. Sorry, last week personal issues came up and we did not record. Instead, actually, the day we recorded, Tony and our buddy Walt, we played golf with your friends. And then we all played that again. So
yeah,
we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But how are you all doing?
You may not have recorded. Doesn't mean I wasn't talking to myself all Thursday night.
You should have recorded that, and I could have published it. Just Earl's insane ramblings.
I mean, it could be worse. I could be Shameik Moore right now. So, it happens. And that is a very topical reference that probably won't mean nothing come Saturday because time has no meaning anymore. So,
it really doesn't. I don't know. Are we in week 11 now? Is that where we're at?
Oh, man. I haven't even kept track of this week. But yes, I think we are in week 11.
What year is it?
I believe it's the year of May.
Year of May. it feels that way, though. Like, I was watching some stuff on that, what was that documentary series on Jordan, Jeff?
The Last Dance.
Right. So they were talking about that, and, you know, people have been talking about, who's the greatest player of all time, and somebody, like, you know, was like, and, you know, the late, great Kobe Bryant. I'm like, shit, like, that happened this year.
Yep,
he checked out right on time.
Oh, my God. Like, wow. That was not that long ago.
Not even was that this year. Like, that was, like, right before this happened. I think it was, like, mid-February. So, yeah, when somebody pointed it out, it was like, right, that is totally something that happened this year.
I've kind of started classifying things as, like, the before times.
Yeah. Like, I use that with friends, and they always think I'm being dramatic. Like, it was, like, like, whenever I tweet about it, I'm always like, in another time or in a different world,
yeah,
we'd be doing X, Y, Z, and it's like, yeah, that is true. But yeah, I get it. It's a bit dramatic, whatever.
It's a way to keep it light, or not. I don't know.
Something.
But yeah. So, week 11, and we finally all got together and played a game, though. Golf with your friends.
I mean, to be fair, some of us played the game and Jeff was around.
I gave up halfway through.
And you finally did get your Popeye sandwich, though.
Second round there.
Yeah, so that was a positive from that.
Just a day late.
Actually, because of that, I got a Popeye sandwich today. I'm sure that's very video game related. But
so good.
I was just super frustrated with work today, and I'm like, I'm going to go for a walk. And there are not a lot of restaurants open around me, so I just walked to the nearest one I could find open.
Do you get the spicy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got some actual spice to it, man. I dig it.
And then I got one of their Mardi Gras cheesecakes to treat myself to after this is done.
Nice. Yeah, so...
Golf.
Golf with your friends. It is new to the Xbox platform. Evidently, it's been out for a little bit.
Has it?
Some other stuff.
Oh.
When I looked it up, I think it said 2018. I think it's been out on maybe on PC.
Probably. Okay. It's available to buy on the Switch, too. I saw it on the eShop. It's like $20.
I mean, I imagine being out on the PCs, like whenever I tell somebody I'm watching a DC Universe show, it could exist, but nobody believes it.
I don't know, like, so if I type in golf with your friends, it says initial release date January 29th, 2016, but then, like, the Steam release date was the same day as the Xbox release date, so...
Now, was it one of those games that released, like, early access?
Maybe it was, like, in early access forever, and, they count that as the release date, I guess. Oh, so maybe it is new. Maybe it can be our game of the year.
I wouldn't go that far yet.
Yeah.
But... No, it's a lot of fun, though. It's very simple. You're a ball. You hit the ball.
Sometimes you're a ball.
sometimes
you're a ball. When you're not a ball, those are the best times.
So it's a mini golf game, and... this party mode that we were playing has these power-ups that are, I guess, I would compare them to maybe like Mario Kart power-ups.
Yeah.
Same idea.
And there's one, I don't know, it seemed to be going to whoever was the, had the most strokes on a hole, would get this, what was it called, the randomizer?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it would turn you into random stuff like a cube or a cone, which if you hit the cone, you just spin in a circle.
Or an acorn, like something that would not rule like a ball rules.
Yeah, so like and it can happen at any time. It's not just like, oh, your next hit is this. Like you are, you know, rolling or flying through the air, and all of a sudden you are now an acorn or a cube. Something it does not roll very well.
And sometimes it works to your advantage. Very rarely does that happen, but sometimes it works to your advantage.
Yeah, there was like one time it like stopped me. Because you know how at every hole it kind of slopes down towards the hole? Well, not every, but most of them. It like stopped me on that hill. And then since my turn was over, I transformed back into the ball and I just rolled in. So there's a possibility I would have rolled past the hill if I were the ball, you know.
Yeah, I tend to have the opposite thing happen where I would get transformed at the peak of a jump, which that means that
usually not good.
Yes, and yeah, you can do it at any time, and it was very frustrating. But again, and each one varies because you could turn into a cone, I think, which is the most popular one. You could turn into a hockey puck, which actually tends to work in your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't glide as well as a actual golf ball, and because it's actually supposed to glide, it's actually really good at overcoming certain edges and keeping the momentum going. And it's a flat shape, so it doesn't have like the cone. If you hit it and it lands on its side, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, kills go in a circle.
Yeah,
or veer off like in a spiral fashion.
Yes, and the one thing I was not able to figure out. Is like I didn't because it seemed like I didn't know if it was time because it's not based off of your shots because you could take more than one shot in that form. But was it time based?
I thought it was shot based. So if you turned into one in like mid shot, like you are already taking the shot and you turn into one, you still have to then take another shot as that. But I think after you take that shot, it did turn back. Or it might have been time-based. I'm not...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't time-based. It was definitely like you had to take the shot as whatever you happened to be.
So you could
tried to wait it out once. It did not work.
Okay. So it is like you could turn into something mid-flight or mid-shot, and then you still have to take another shot as it. Mm-hmm. We played some crazy courses.
Yeah, we did.
Actually, Earl did not get the easy course. Earl was just thrown right into the... He wasn't thrown right into, like, the crazy fire, but he was thrown pretty pretty hard because we did, like, the next hardest course. But that first course we did, which was the Worms course...
Yeah! That was the best one. Best one.
Jeff just dropped out of that.
He's like, screw that, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
Well, I had to deal with my Popeyes issue, so
you seem to be a little frustrated by that course, though.
Oh yeah, I think the course sucked. I don't know. Like, and I think even like the second one we did was like Candyland or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there was like, I don't know, there's one hole where there was like, I'm sure you guys will remember this. There's like a slide in the on the hole, and then the slide dumps you out at a part that like is out of bounds basically or whatever. I remember like it was like it would not drop you where you needed to go. I'm just like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, I don't
yeah.
know.
But Earl won one of our rounds of golf.
Yeah. By a single point.
Over me, who won the other two rounds.
Yeah. I still have not won a round of golf in six. I did improve though. That first night we played, I was atrocious.
Well, the interesting thing about it, I think, from it's so different than your typical golf game, because like what you're basically doing, you're just setting up your power and direction. Like you don't have to worry about like the different types of clubs or right.
The power meter is not like usually a power meter is like it like goes up and down. You have to try a time where you want it, but it's like
yeah,
you totally you have like. Complete control over how hard you want to hit the ball and in what direction. So it's like, I guess the kind of wacky courses make up for the fact that there's not like, it's like a very simple mini golf game. Like there's not a lot to making a shot, you know,
right.
There's like nothing to making a shot. It's just the decisions that you make.
And the courses themselves, you know, like there are what something like, I want to say, something like 9 different types of courses, and each one is a full 18 holes.
Yeah, I mean, it is for you know, even though it is as simple as we just described it, like I was not expecting to pop in and see it, the amount of holes that there are. I was expecting like maybe 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but there are, as you said, like at least 9 on there. You know, we did not duplicate any holes when we played. Well, we played for a good like 2 hours or so. So I don't know. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, yeah. And much like Mario Kart, part of the joy of playing through it or replaying through it, I would imagine, is trying to find all those shortcuts. Because part of the reason I ended up winning that second game. Was like I would find places in certain maps where it's like, oh, this is only 2 hits if you screw yourself up really badly. But it works.
There was one hole where I just turned to the right before I made my first shot, and I saw that like the end of the hole, like the flag was like kind of right to the right of me. And I just fucking aimed that way and then jumped after I hit the ball, and it worked. Like I got like I thought for sure I was going to win the hole because I got like a birdie or whatever out of it. But everyone else got it in 2. I was like, what the fuck? You guys like all took the long way going down like the ramps and shit. You still made it in 2. But yeah, there's like sometimes you just get a crazy bounce too. And then you like end up where you needed to be. Like that happened to me a couple times. I was like, oh man, I don't know how I would have done this hole if I actually had to strategize. I just got lucky.
And you mentioned the bounce, and that's another part of the strategy, because like bouncing isn't anything you do in golf. There's no, you don't control the ball after a shaft. So
and you can, at least with this party mode. So like the first night that Tony and I and Walt played, there was no jumping. Like we just played
with
regular rules. So it's literally just mini golf at that point.
Yeah.
But the jumping does add like an added strategy to it, and it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I played it by myself before I played with you guys, and I just did the forest course, which is I think you know the first course in the game, and I did it on like classic mode, and it was just it's just totally normal mini golf. So I was not expecting what happened. when we played together, and all of a sudden it's like the Worms level, and I'm like I knew there was power ups. I'm like, okay, they're gonna turn the power ups on, but I did not realize like how absolutely insane some of the courses are. Like that Worms one, like there was a fucking hole where there's just bombs going off, like there, it was
everywhere.
Like, impossible for me to like. You couldn't think or set something up because by the time you have a shot lined up, you got hit with a bomb and your ball's moved now. It's like, okay.
When I think there was the one right before you quit where because it was the worms level. So there's this thing called the Holy Hand Grenade that's rolling down the giant hill, and you and Walt kind of got stuck at the bottom and with the grenade bouncing, and I think it hit you, and you actually flew to the top at one point, and were able to finish the course. But Walt just like he was in like a loop of being bombed the entire time.
I think there's some rough edges to the game. Like, I don't know how I'd feel if I paid for it, but like as a free game, I enjoyed video game golf enough. It's fun. Like, even that, like, worms level that was, like, so frustrating, it was just funny because we're all, like, screaming and laughing as we're playing it. Like, at least I was, like, I was losing my fucking mind.
But I think that's when Earl joined us. Like, I mean, normally you don't get to play with five people. Like, lots of games just do not have five people. And this game allows you to, everyone plays at once. Like, you just go.
Yeah, it's also a pain in the ass because everybody goes at once, which also means that you can engage. Like, there was that one shot, one of the first shots that when I joined the game, like, my ball's circling around the edge, and then Tony comes around and knocks it out at the very last second. I was so pissed off when that happened.
I would never do such a thing. I don't know what you're accusing me of.
Yeah, I definitely got fucked up a couple of times by people's balls hitting me. I was like, I had a perfect shot lined up. Like, what the fuck? But that chaos is like, that made it, you know, like fun playing with friends. Just like, we were all like laughing and screaming, dude. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, you're just sitting there and it's a, why the fuck am I a cone?
And the best part is like, that happens and everybody's like, everybody starts selling. It's like, who did this? Like, everybody's like, I don't know. There's like that one. That one person who's like, oh yeah, I turned into this thing too. I don't know.
It's like that it's like that game where you have to, the spy game we played.
Oh yeah.
It's like, who turned us into the cone? It was definitely not me. I am a Christmas ornament now. I would definitely play more though. It just is like, you know, a quick game to like get on and play with. Like, there's no real commitment to it. Like, you don't have to, there's no stats to upgrade. There are stuff to unlock, but they don't mean anything. So it's just easy access for everybody to jump in. Jeff, did you get your girlfriend to play it with you?
No, but I doubt I'm going to play it again by myself unless I get her to play. But definitely anytime you guys want to play that game, I thought it was fun enough that, you know, I'd be down again.
Yeah, we have other courses to try out. So.
That's right. And we got to do the worms one again.
No, I'm good on worms.
I want to do that space station one. We did the pirate one instead. The pirate one seemed like it would be more mini golf. And at the beginning it was. And then it went crazy.
Yeah. Like the last two holes on that one were like impossible. That's like, I don't know. There's little things about the game where I'm like, it's kind of rough, but overall, since it was free, shit, I don't know. It's fun.
What were you going to say, Earl?
Oh, no, I was going to say the other thing is, like, we mentioned the some of those modes, but there's also other stuff. Like, there's, like, a basketball mode. I think there's a hockey mode. So there are other things we haven't tried out as well.
Like, even we played that custom, that a party mode, but you can customize all the settings too. So you can shut off bouncing, you can add double jumping, you can unlimited jetpacks or whatever. Like, there's a whole setting list that we could adjust and play with there so that it, you know, can tailor to however you want to play. I kind of enjoy the chaos of that party mode. So go play golf with your friends if you have a Game Pass. And actually, even at $15, like, if you have people to play with, it's probably not a bad pickup. As Jeff said, a little rough around the edges, but fun enough playing.
There's a serious lack of like golf games on current gen, and so even like a goofy mini golf one is kind of welcome, you know.
Yeah. Are you going to get that new PGA game, Jeff?
I probably am. I think I am, but I talked to Pete Scarrett on Twitter, and he was, like, not excited about it. And that's who I go to gauge how certain sports games might be. He's a big sports game fan, you know, so it's like, I was like, what do you think of this? And he's like, nah. It's like, I think he said it's the people that made the golf club.
Yes.
Club, which I think I tried and I didn't like, so I don't know. But I'm so desperate, I might do it.
So, Golf with Your Friends, available for everyone on Game Pass. Also on Game Pass, though, is a new Minecraft game from Mojang. Minecraft Dungeons. Jeff, have you beat it yet?
No, I haven't gone back to even try the final level in a couple days. I've just been leveling myself up in the earlier levels. So maybe I could, but I'm scared now. I've come.
Also part of Game Pass, it is a third-person kind of Diablo-esque action RPG, dungeon crawler type thing, loot game, I guess. Very simple, at least from what I played of it. Jeff's much farther, but didn't seem like a... Much farther, you're like three levels above me. But
yeah,
it's very short as well.
I think the game is very good, and I think that the combat is actually like excellent. But yeah, if there's any like big criticism I have of the game, it's that it's just way too short. Like it's like 9 or 10 levels, and the levels are not like they're not nearly as long as your average like Diablo level. Like they're take about 10 minutes or so each. So
yeah, I think I ran through two last night, like on like a higher difficulty, and they took like maybe 15 minutes a piece. Like, that seems to like, it doesn't seem like your level number matters, but rather you want to play the higher difficulties because you'll get better drops, which upgrades your power level, which I think is what you said. You need to be like power level 22 or something to take on the boss.
They recommend that you have a power level of 22 to do the final level. And yeah, it's like separate from your actual level, like your experience level. But you know, I've done it. I'm above the power level and the actual level now. And I've tried the final level. Like that's the other thing is like game is not very hard or anything. It's you know, Diablo light. But then like the final level is just like insanely hard kind of.
And you said playing with other people doesn't necessarily make it, it doesn't make it easier.
It didn't help. They just added more enemies. Clearly I could tell they made the level harder because I had other people helping me. So, I don't know. At some point I'm sure it's not like impossible or anything, but like just the degree of difficulty between the rest of the game and the final level is noticeable.
Trying to get there. Game looks good. I think like it has a neat aesthetic. That Minecraft aesthetic works really well for it. I'm not too keen on like the loot. Like it's fine, I guess. You enchant your weapons and your equipment with one. It looks like one skill or one or two skills. Maybe three if it's like a special equipment or something.
It depends. Like sometimes you enchant, like say you enchant a sword or something, and then you become locked into that enchantment, and you can only do higher levels of that enchantment. But then sometimes you can have three different enchantments, onto a weapon or whatever. So I don't like. It's kind of. I think it's cool. It's fine. I don't know. One problem I have with the loot is there's not enough of it. So like, I'm going back to play old levels now to get more loot. And it's like in the course of an entire level, I get like one or two pieces of loot. I'm like, okay, I just had to play that whole fucking level. And I got two pieces of garbage that aren't going to do anything for me. Then when you go to the town in between levels, there's like a blacksmith where I say you get junk in the level you don't want. You can sell it to the blacksmith and then you could buy something from him. But the stuff you buy from the blacksmith is randomized. Like, you don't get to choose, oh, he's got a good, like, fire sword or some shit. It's just, like, He just says, give me $98 and I'll give you a weapon appropriate to your level. And so, like, it's kind of like a slot machine type deal where it's just like, you know,
am I going to get something good?
Nine out of 10 things you buy off the guy are going to be, yeah, they're going to be like not as good as what you had. So, and then you're just out of all your money. Like, that's kind of where I'm stuck now in the game. I'm like, I need some better shit to fight the last level. And I'm not getting it from the levels, and then I'm spending whatever coin I have at the guy, and he's not giving me shit there, so I'm just stuck. Overall, though, I like the game.
Good. Yeah, I'm playing through it too. It seems fine. Like, I do. We were talking about it yesterday. The lack of classes is kind of disappointing. Like,
yeah. If you're gonna do Diablo, do that. Like, give me a wizard. Give me a fucking, you know, somewhere I can do it. Give me some spells, man. Like, it's so basic. Like, no matter whatever character you pick at the beginning, it's just a skin. And so, like, say you're playing with three other friends, like, all four of you are using a melee weapon, like a sword and arrows. Like, everyone's using that. Yeah, you get enchantments and, you know, you get the, with the artifacts, things that you can tack on to your character, like kind of magic things, but like I could summon a dog that fights with me. So, you know, that's something, but it's just kind of weird that I can't just choose like a magic type character. I don't know. I guess I'm wanting a deeper game when the game doesn't want to be that. Like, it just wants to be like super basic Diablo or whatever. I don't know.
Right. And maybe it will expand over time. Like, because like it, right on the map.
Well,
like
you can see off the right saying, when you choose hey, levels.
There's this.
Yeah. So, they're going to add levels.
Maybe it will get there. It is weird, though. Like, there are like sorcerers and wizards in the game because you fight them. So it's weird that there's not an option to have some sort of magic user as you. It's always you have a melee weapon, you have a ranged weapon, and then you have these magic artifacts, and that's what distinguishes your character. But
yeah,
whatever. It's a cute, fun part of Game Pass. Even if it's not, it's only $20. So
I would recommend it for $20. Like, if you like, you know, dungeon crawlers, like, it's again, it's no Diablo beater, but it's like, I don't know. It looks cool to me, and I do think that the combat, like, once you get everything, it feels pretty good. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
You play anything else new, Jeff?
Other than the things that we're going to talk about, not really.
Okay. Yeah, we will get to that that little device we got. Earl, you play anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, it's the same things I've been rotating between. Dino Blade, Diablo, Path of Exile. Yeah, I've just been craving out of Dungeon Crawlers.
Oh, it's good news. Can Jeff and I interest you in a mediocre one that we just played?
I've been curious about this, because I watched a quick look about this, and it just seemed kind of meh. Like, it seemed like it was there, but I'm hoping that you folks are a bit more positive, but that does not seem to be the case.
No, it's fine. Like, and I think that's it. Like, it's fine. Like, it is fun for what it is. I think it's priced appropriately. But it's not very deep. So, like, if, you know, you're playing Path of Exile, you're playing Diablo, playing Torchlight, like, those games have deeper customization with them, and more to it, right? Like, there's only, I think Jeff said, 9 levels. So, like, what Jeff's doing right now is, like, he's replaying the levels at higher difficulties. So you end up replaying these super basic levels, like, over and over again to get the equipment you need. It's probably fine, you know, with friends or whatever, but... And it's fine playing by yourself. It's just, it's not great.
That just sells me on the game.
Yeah, I know.
I really want to play it right now. No, I don't.
No, because I remember, I think Jeff was giving impressions, and we were asking, like, he was like, I think I'm like halfway done with the game, and we're like, which game is he talking about? Like, the one he just started? And
right, like, yes. I thought he was talking about something else. Like, it's like, wait, you meant Minecraft, the game that just came out this day, and it's now 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That was a... He quickly made work on that. Tony, you play anything else?
Not really. More Apex Legends, I guess. Oh, I played through the first quest mission. And the second quest mission, actually, since the last time we were
playing. How did that go?
They're not that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the AI enemies are all... I don't know if you played... there's... On the World's Edge map, there was like this area they added where you could unlock these cages and these lion things would attack you.
Okay.
So all the enemies are those of various strengths, and they're basically just lions that charge you and try to kill you. They drop you into the mission. You have to go in and activate a bunch of switches that will get you a box. Then you have to grab the box and then run for the evac, kind of like at the end of a Titanfall mission that you lost.
Okay.
So you're just trying to get on the chopper and escape with all these lion things chasing you. So there's no variety in the enemies, which is kind of frustrating. The missions themselves are pretty short. I think we played through it in like 10 minutes, maybe 15 for the second one. The second one was a little bit better, like there was more to do. But it's still pretty straightforward. I don't know. If you were trying to build a single player game around this, you really would fail miserably.
Like that. This is not single player Apex Legends. It is like,
no, there's not like, there's no advanced AI. Like there's no like enemies, like, none of the characters are coming to try and kill you or anything. Oddly, it does restrict who you can bring on the missions. So you can't bring anyone who's not aligned with the characters who are actually taking part. But
okay.
I don't know. Not great. It's just not great. Play actual Apex Legends. That's a lot of fun. You do get like rewards. I think you get like, I think I went up an entire experience level, which at this point is super hard.
From playing those.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, not awesome. I'm hoping they get better.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, you have to every week you have to collect enough boxes to play the next mission. So you're basically unlocking these missions. Hopefully, and you can't play through all of them yet. There's like 7 of them eventually. So I'm hoping to get through all 7 and they'll be interesting, but I don't know. Not so far.
Earl, what were you going to ask?
Oh, I wasn't going to ask it. It did prompt my memory that I actually was playing Fortnite this week. So, some friends have just been asking, so we've been playing it. And it reminded me of, like, they have some single player content now. They have a single player campaign, which everybody always seems to forget is a thing.
The Save the World mode, right?
Yes. And I like how it's now, like, they have a single player mode when that was the thing that launched it. But no, they also have, like, some stuff, like, there's NPCs on the map now that you can interact with. And the side mission right now is like Deadpool related. So there's like a yacht you can go to that's off the beaten path, and you have to jump off the plane for it. And you go there, and you just get swarmed by a bunch of enemies and stuff like that. And then when you get on there, then there's certain challenges. Like for this one, for example, you have to take one of the bodies that you get down the bodies without actually killing it, and you can pick it up then. And then one of the objectives, for example, is to throw it overboard. One of them is to walk with the body like 50 kilometers. So there's little sub-objectives. And I think if you complete all 3, you get something good. And then if you complete everything, you kind of find, like, you can get a hidden key that will activate something in the map that gives you more weapons or something to unlock. And I thought that was really interesting because you also have the element of, like, the countdown clock, because you only have a certain amount of time before the circling closes, and you can't stay on the boat because it's usually out of bounds. So you have like, I think it's like 4 or 5 minutes the first time to get it all done. So it's a nice little thing to break up the pace. I've actually also been enjoying Fortnite. I think I and I could be wrong. I feel like they don't use building as much anymore, which has made it slightly easier for me to get into it, because I found it really difficult when I first tried to like think of like, oh yeah, I have to build stuff, and I also have to shoot things. I'm just not very good at both of those.
Yeah. I just want to shoot things in that game. Like, I think the shooting is fun, but I don't want to build weird towers, and that seems like what the end game circles are. It's like people building these impossible towers, and I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that, again, I have a friend who's just really into it, so it worked out for us, because like he would just be the one barking instructions. I'm like, yeah, that works for us. So I actually, the first time I played with him, I actually ended up winning. We were doing duo, so you know, you still ask 98 people. And what was funny about that, and I mean, it's kind of the gift and curse with some of these battle royale games. It's like my friend, like we started playing at like 4:30 on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, and like we start playing, and as soon as we get into a game, he has to take a work call, so he's just standing there. So I just kind of build up walls around him, and as people come, I just take them out. But he doesn't move for I think 15 minutes or so, and he comes back, and it's down to like 10 people, and then we start playing. I'm like, yeah, that's part of the downside is you can really kind of sit it out for most of the game, and still win if you play your cards right.
Yeah, I mean that was literally like when I played it a lot last year. That was my strategy, was like, go get some weapons, hide under a staircase, and move with the circle, just like avoid encounters, and you could get into the top 10 pretty consistently.
Yeah,
Walt and I had a match of Apex Legends this past week, which, you know, same procedure, where we literally didn't see anyone the entire game, and then there was a point at which Walt was the guy who could scan. So he scanned. He's like, there's six enemies around this corner. We come around the corner and everyone is dead except one guy who I kill. I kill that one guy and we win. That was it. We saw one guy the entire time and won the match.
It's like you haven't done anything. These guys have probably been fighting the entire match.
Yep.
And you just like come in, mop them up.
Oh, yeah. And I have to imagine that's super frustrating. But it's a legitimate strategy for these games.
Especially since, like, then don't they show you, like, if you end up watching, it's like Champions of the Arena, and it's like one kill. It's like, what? What did these, what? These guys have? What? No damage. That's funny. All right. Well, I played some Maneater. I played and finished Maneater.
Nice.
Whoa, there she goes. Watch out, boy, she'll chew you up.
Yeah, they missed that opportunity.
That would have been so great if that was on the end credits or something.
It should have been the end credits, especially since...
Fucking tore you up for that license.
You end up playing a girl shark in the game, so like that, it would have been perfect. Like, I mean, I think either way it would have been perfect to have that song at the end, but
also no freaking laser beams.
Yeah, there's no laser beams. So premise is it kind of takes place. It's like a cable access show in the vein of like if hillbillies, like super meth head hillbillies, ran that crab show in Alaska. You know which one I'm talking about? The Deadliest Catch.
Yeah. Sure.
Like think like documentary fishing show, but like cable access with like hillbillies. And it's presented that way. It's presented like Maneater is presented as an episodic TV show, and there's characters that get like cutscenes and they talk, and you are this shark that has become a nemesis to this this one fisherman. He kills your mom, cuts you out of her, and you bite off his hand and escape. And so, like, then you start living that way. And so you grow from being this like little baby shark, and by eating other fish by eating like fish, turtles, and eventually people, like you'll level up and get evolutions, and there are like mutagens that allow you to have like weird evolutions. Like you can make a bone on the outside of your skin so that you take like less damage and do more ramming damage to boats and stuff. So like there's like loadouts. Like you're setting up your weird fish with like a loadout of like, hey, I want electric teeth and a head made of bone and a tail made of bone and a body that like lets me go super fast. And then like the rest of the game is like, it's all underwater. You can go on land. There's evolutions for that allow you to like stay on land longer to eat people. But you're just swimming around and there's like objectives to complete. Like, you know, you have to take down the apex predator in each region. But each region is kind of set up like an Assassin's Creed or a GTA, where it's like this area has like a bunch of objectives to go complete and stuff to collect. And you do the mission objectives for that area and it unlocks the next area and you just move around. Eventually you end up fighting like a giant like Moby Dick type whale, like a white sperm whale. And that's fun. Like, you're jumping on top of boats. You're taking out gunships. Like at the end, like, it's super dumb fun. It's over pretty shortly. I ended up putting about 15 hours into it, and I completed everything. Like there's literally nothing else for me to do in the game. But evidently they're going to do a DLC. So I don't know. It's that game that we've kind of been asking for, like not necessarily a shark game, but like that weird B tier game that we just don't get anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's either indie games or AAA games at this point. And this is like, it's a $40 game from out of nowhere, which to be fair, they did have a giant booth at PAX East. I believe that was Maneater that had a giant booth there.
Yes, it was one of the first ones when you came in.
Yeah, because there was another shark game there too, right?
Yeah. Well, there's another game giving out shark fins.
Okay, it wasn't necessarily a shark game.
Yeah, it was a, I think it's kind of like Joust on the water. But it was in a shark game. I mean, I can't think of many shark games.
No, Jaws Unleashed, I heard, is good, evidently. I never played that one.
What is it?
Jaws Unleashed. I guess it's like a PS2 game.
Yeah. I haven't played it, but yeah.
I people were going, oh, this is like, if you like Jaws Unleashed, like you're going to love Maneater. I'm like, I kind of want to go track down Jaws Unleashed now because I have nothing else to do in this Maneater game. But it's fun. My wife came down. She was like, what are you doing? And she was like, just like perplexed by it, but also couldn't take her eyes away as I was like flopping around on land, eating people. And it's dumb fun. But good dumb fun. Seems like people are enjoying it too.
I'm looking for a sale on it, but I'm going to definitely play it at some point.
In 3 weeks when it turns $20, inevitably. I figure
it's got to go down to at least 30 some point soon, you know? And
I was disappointed. For some reason, I thought it was going to be a Game Pass game.
That would be fun. Maybe it will in a couple months, but I did run into a bug that's kind of annoying because I completed everything in the game, but there is one. So there are these landmarks that you can go to, and some of them are like, you know, they all have commentary when you hit them, and you know, it'll talk about, you know, whatever that landmark is and give you some context to what happened there. There's one in this one area that I can't get because the landmark just isn't there. It's a bug that other people have in other sections of the game as well. And it's literally holding me back from the final four achievements. So if I could just get that, if they patch it, I can just go in, swim to that area, chomp on it, and it'll unlock the full 1,000 points. So
I almost bought it the other night, but instead I got super drunk and bought Mortal Kombat DLC. And actually, no regrets.
Yep. So you've been playing as the Terminator?
Yeah. I mean, I played that night. I haven't touched it since. But yeah, I was playing as Terminator, and I think I was telling you, Chris, like, he seems like a character that doesn't have like a lot of interesting moves. Like at first, it's just like every sort of like special move you have is a shotgun. But he's a brutal fighter. Like just a normal, regular kick with a B button like fucks people up, and you could kind of, at least me playing the computer, spam them for a little bit and take down like half their bar just kicking them. And like after a while, like I really enjoyed playing as him. As strange as that sounds, just because he's just brutal. Like I think I was telling you, Chris. Like you know, like that move you do in Mortal Kombat. It's like totally part of the fighting. Like you do it all the time, where you kneel down and you do like the uppercut. Yep. Like him, instead of doing the uppercut, he like does a shotgun blast to the other player's chin. It's fucking like super satisfying. And yeah, he's got like really fucking awesome fatalities and shit. I almost went like all in and bought the new DLC that like so he was part of the.
Oh, first I think you DLC. Bought the DLC.
I bought the first, like from
you last. Bought the character pack, right? Like yeah, with the Terminator, was it Spawn, Joker?
Yeah.
Okay, I think
Terminator, Spawn, Joker, and someone else.
Might it's be a an actual Mortal Kombat cap. Yeah.
I haven't even tried Joker yet. But you know what's cool is like, so like I posted me doing a fatality to RoboCop. So it's like, I don't have that DLC, but he still shows up as an opponent, like an AI opponent.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah. So like you don't necessarily, like you can't play as him, but you can fight against them. So that's cool.
I will get the new DLC, which is $40 at some point, because it's like a whole new story mode, basically, I think. And you get RoboCop and a bunch of other people. And, like, I don't know. I think, like, I'm not into fighting games at all. But I think Mortal Kombat... Mortal Kombat was the one I was ever, like, into at all. And I think they really, like, figured out how to, like, modernize it. And, like, they do a great job of making a player of any skill level feel like they can have fun in that game. Like... could easily just set it on easy, and it's still really fun. Like the way they like have all the moves out for you, the way you could buy like tokens to do the fatalities if the fatalities are too hard for you. Like I don't know, I suck at like fighting games, and I still like really love Mortal Kombat 10 and 11.
That this is 11, right? They're releasing like a collected version with the new DLC, right?
Yeah, Aftermath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could buy a combo of you could buy it right now, like a combo on the store. I forgot what it was, but it's like, you know, base Mortal Kombat plus Aftermath. And I'm assuming that would also maybe give you the other character pack, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe at some point. Like I liked Mortal Kombat 9. I liked the first Injustice. I haven't played 2 yet, and I liked Mortal Kombat 10. So, I think they're great entry level. Like,
did you play the story for the 11 or no?
I didn't play 11 story. I played 10 story.
Thought maybe you rented it from Redbox or something, but you could easily do that too. It's like 5 hours, probably. You know.
Yeah, they're you know, they're short enough, but. But actually, like for a fighting game, like you go back and play some fighting games from like the early 90s and you know, Super Nintendo or even PlayStation 2 era, like those fighting games on easy were like 12 minutes Like, you could pretty much blow through them. And this is like an actual story, though. Like, if you're jumping around a different character, so it's pretty cool. Injustice is like that too. So
yeah,
that's cool as hell.
I mean, it's pretty much the MO since MK versus DC.
Yeah, now that one's fun too.
Yeah, I know people dislike it because it neuters both brands, but I'm like, whatever, it's fun.
Yeah. Yes, maybe I'll pick up that at some point when goes on sale.
It's such a good game. Like, again, it's like one of those games, like, even if you're not into the genre, I think they do a good enough job that, I don't know, I like it.
Yeah. All right.
If I played someone who was good, they would probably kick my ass and I'd hate the game again.
That's true.
I do not play that online.
I think I did play it online when it first came out, like a couple matches, and I was super proud of myself. Anyways.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's like some sort of skill-based matchmaking too, right? So yeah. you should, cause I did, you know, when Tekken 7, for some reason there was like a rewards points for playing that. When I played that, like one of the achievements was play it online and win a match or something. And I tried and I did win a match. So nice. I think it pits you against like people that also haven't played the game. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's I think what happened with me.
It's like it's a 50-50 shot. I don't know the button. Yeah. You don't know the buttons. And good. No, we made cool shit happen on screen. All right, Jeff. We finally got it.
Yes.
Way earlier than January 5th. Hopefully not the last mini console, but the latest mini console, the TurboGrafx 16 mini.
Oh, this is the one to end them off.
This is it.
The world is ending anyway, so this is a good time.
Yeah.
True. End it on this one. Yeah, the TurboGrafx 16 mini is out, and we have them. And it's pretty good.
It's really good. I mean, before we even get to like the games or anything, like I think they did a really good job in terms of hardware and like the front end, like the menus and shit on this. Like, it's big. It's a strangely big system.
It is. But, for a mini system, it is a massive.
Is it a mini system?
Yeah, it is.
I think it's legitimately called the TurboGrafx 16 Mini.
Okay.
And it is small. I wonder what the ratio is compared to the actual console. Like, if it's 3/4 size or half size. But it's, like, big enough where you would believe that. Like, this is half size of what the console is. It's, like, takes up way more space on my dresser than the SNES Mini.
Yeah. I think we were talking last night. It was, like, I put both the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo Mini, and it is roughly the same size as the TG16 Mini.
And it's part of the design of the TurboGrafx-16. Like, there's like this like hood that goes over the back where you plug in the cords. I don't understand the thinking behind it.
I think it's designed that way so that the cords like aren't just flopping out of the back of the machine.
I guess, but
I think it was a way to kind of like, oh, cord management. Like, people want like something nice in their entertainment system.
But you also got this huge brick hanging off the back. And it's hard to pull off. I was like, how does this thing come off? And then it just finally just popped off like real quick. I was like, okay.
I thought I was going to break it.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah. I'm pulling on, is there a point where I push on this so that it will release or what? And it just finally just popped off. And I was like, thank God I didn't break anything. And then there's still like a piece of plastic that hangs over where you plug the power cord in. So it's like kind of hard to get. I thought it was hard to get the USB in there, you know?
Yeah, it's not the easiest setup, but I think once it's there, it's fine.
I think they did a great job with controller. I think that controller is a pretty good controller for its time too. Like, it just, I think it feels good.
Yeah, it's basically
it's like a NES controller.
Yeah, it's maybe it's not as rough. It's not like the Nintendo Entertainment System controller kind of had like those sharp edges to it. This doesn't really have that. It's still a rectangle, but it's not as defined as that. So it feels a little better in your hands.
I think the 1 and 2 buttons feel really good.
Yeah. Turbo buttons on it has the toggles.
As far as I know, like that's probably the only major system that had turbo buttons built into the controller, right? Like,
yeah,
other systems you could buy a turbo controller for, but that was like built into the turbo graphics, and there are games that utilize it. Kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, it's like you were telling. So I wasn't really playing with it on. But when we were talking last night, you were like, "Hey, like, yeah, with Bonk, like, you could flip that up on the the attack mode." And just like spin,
he keeps like spazzing out in the air, so you could like just jump and like kind of float. Like some of the levels flat, you can kind of just float through the air across the whole level by holding down the jump button.
It becomes a strategy too, like where it's like, all right, like I'm going to hit this one, and then keep spinning, and then hit another one and keep spinning. So it's like almost like, all right, you could play it the hard way.
So you did try it out with the turbo on.
Oh yeah, and it makes
it changes the game.
Yeah, it makes it faster. It doesn't make it better, but it makes it faster and infinitely more fun than I was having before.
You know what I like? That like what did impress me about that game when I was a kid is, I think it's like the sprites were so big and stuff like. Like you go in and fight that first boss, it's like a giant dinosaur, isn't it? Like,
all the bosses are big. They're
everything huge. Everything is super large. Like Blanc is large on the screen, Like, so I think if you remember like when this came out, like I think it was right before the Genesis, right around that time.
It came out 2 weeks after the Genesis.
Did it? But
same month.
Yeah, and it kind of did get blown out of the water by, like, those systems. Like, it didn't make much of an impact here. It's not a true 16-bit system, I don't think. I think it's almost like a souped-up NES.
Yeah.
But if you look at it as, like, a mid-step between those two, even though, like you said, it came out right after the Genesis, it's like, impressive what it's doing for what it is. Like, it gets away with some really good, almost, like, arcade-level graphics on it. When I guess it's kind of an 8-bit system, so pretty cool.
Yeah, and this device has a lot. Like there's like what 50 some games on it.
Yeah,
as you said, like the design of it inside is really neat. The menu system is cool. One of the things that I really like is so. The games for the TurboGrafx-16 came on like what looked like a credit card. It was like this chip that you plugged into the machine, into this like little card reader slot. And when you pick a game, it like pops it open and you'll see the card on the screen, and then it tilts it and plugs it into the machine. You get like this satisfying click sound.
Yeah.
Or if it's a CD game, like you'll hear like the disc spinning up.
Sounds oh, that's just like cool. A, sounds oh, just like a cool. CD drive spinning. Like yeah. It sounds like takes you back to that sound where you're like, oh yeah, that's what that sounded like.
Like it's like they thought through like, hey, like this is kind of cool, right? Like let's give like this nostalgic a little like spin sound and like the click of the chip fitting into the slot and.
Another thing I really love about the system is, like, every other mini console makes you get up and hit the reset button on the console if you want to go out to the main menu and save your game or play something else. And then here you can do it all from your controller, which is, like, seems like such an obvious thing to do. But I get, they finally did it. No one else has done it that I can think of.
Yeah, and the way they do it makes so much sense, too. It's like...
I figured it out on my own. I didn't read it in a manual. I just was like, what happens if I press start and select at the same time?
Yeah.
There we go.
And so the way I found easiest to do is like you pause the game, but you hold down, you know, the run button,
yeah,
and then press the select button and it'll bring up the menu. So like if you're trying to make a save state, you're not saving it mid action.
Yeah.
You're saving it in a pause state, and then you know, when you restart it from there, it'll bring it right in. It has the four save slots, just like the, you know, Nintendo systems. And
yeah.
It has the TurboGrafx-16 games. I think there's like maybe 25
regular, you know, North America games, and then there's the PC Engine section. It's like a whole separate section that reloads a whole new menu.
Yeah, and it's mostly Japanese. I think they're all Japanese games.
Yeah, mostly you can play because they're mostly shooters, so you don't really have to know anything. Like you're just shooting shit. But you know, some of them, like I think there's a game called Stalker or something that was like all plot and dialogue, and it's like you can't play it if you don't speak Japanese, you know.
So I even found a Bonk platformer.
The original Bonk is only on that side, on the Japanese side.
Yeah, there's not like really story, but like when you beat a level, you defeat like the little dragon guy or whatever, big dragon guy, and he goes back to normal, and he like gives you a line of dialogue, but it's all in it's in Japanese. Like I have no idea what they're saying.
I did not realize that. What is it, Dracula X? The Castlevania game?
Rondo of Blood. Yep.
Oh, Rondo of Blood, my bad. I did not realize that was a Japanese-only game. Like, it was never released on TurboGrafx here.
So right.
That's where you gotta play it, on there. I started that. It seems really cool. Like, really impressive, like, cartoon cutscenes for its time. Like, I'm amazed that the system is doing that.
You just wish you knew what they were saying.
Yeah, it would help.
It's funny because the opening cutscene for Rondo of Blood is actually in German, but it has because it's the Japanese version of the game. It has Japanese subtitles. It's like zero idea what's going on here. Eventually, they will speak Japanese in those cutscenes, Jeff. There's like a really long one right before you fight Dracula. I have no idea what's happening here.
You played through most of the game at this point, or all?
Yeah, I'm on the final level. There's a boss rush that I'm having. It's a bitch. it's like you end up fighting like a giant bat, and then you fight Medusa, and now I'm fighting a mummy. And this is all right
boss
before
rush.
It's like right before you fight Dracula, and it's like this. Oh my god, this is a pain in the ass.
Hate it so much,
especially since like Death, who if you played Castlevanians before, Death is notoriously hard in all of them except for like Castlevania 2. He took all of my hearts. Okay, there's a special power that you can use for each of the sub weapons by pressing select, but it eats up a good chunk of your hearts, like 15 or so of them.
Oh, Jesus. So
all of them on Death, and so now I had none coming in, and you get a little bit before you get to that final area, but I only had like 20 or 25. It's not enough, like with all these bosses, because you can't replenish them, so I can't use that special power to whittle away at their health, and it's rough. But it's fun.
It's a good looking Castlevania game.
Yeah.
I'm interested to, you know, it's like one of the few ones I haven't played from that era, so I'm excited to finally give it a shot. You think it's pretty good though?
It's very good. The levels are just, they're way more detailed than like the Nintendo era.
Yeah.
They're not maybe does not look quite as good as like Super Castlevania 4. But they do a great job with what they have here. Yeah. And Super Castlevania 4 had like notable slowdown. Even playing, like I just played it on the Castlevania collection. Like it has slowdown there.
You gotta do it accurately, man.
Yeah.
That's built into the gameplay of that game. It was so bad. Like,
But yeah, like that game looks way better, but this, for what this is, it's very impressive, and there is no slowdown. Like, also, you're like, just like with Bonk, like, you're going to come across like some enemies that are really big. Like, they're big sprites, they're detailed, which is not normal for, you know, those early Castlevania games, because they were dealing with the limitations of the Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah. So. It's a really cool system.
I love it. Did you play Blazing Lasers? The greatest game of all time?
I played a little bit of it. The music is very good. I am not
that opening. Like fucking like right, you know, it's like the title screen's coming. So.
Yeah. I'm not a big like arcade shooter fan, but
well, I got bad news for you about the TurboGrafx.
There's a lot of them. Yeah, there's a lot of games, but there's other stuff. There's like Neotopia, which is like a Zelda clone.
I've tried to get into those.
There's two of them.
I owned them back in the day on the Wii, like on the virtual console. Mm. I remember I got far in one of them. I can't remember which one, but they haven't really like. I think I tried the first one on this thing, and I'm like, this is okay.
They're Zelda 1 clones. Like.
Yeah, they're like trying to be Zelda 1. They look a little better than Zelda 1, but yeah. Like they just are not as good as Zelda 1. So
music's not as good. There's way too many like people that talk to you.
Yeah.
But it's fun, like, you know, combat wise. And
so, how far did you get in Blazing Lasers? Just like the first area, or
just
whatever?
Like the first area. Yeah, I am terrible at them. I'm sure that I could, like, you know, utilize the save feature.
Yeah, you can, but it gets very hard to do so. Like, I remember that game being super accessible because, like, if you have a good run, you could get pretty far on like one lot, like set of lives. Like you could probably easily get to the fifth level out of nine, right? Like just no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my god, does it ramp up? Like level 6 through 9 are insane, dude. And like level 9 is a boss rush thing, like in Castlevania, where it's just like, here, fight every boss from the fucking game, and then you have to fight this final boss that would be impossible on its own. But you have to somehow like kill every boss you've already killed and then kill the final boss without dying. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, it was hard even with save states, like very hard. So I'm like, how the fuck would I do this? Like, like maybe this is the only game I played until the rest of time I'd get good enough to just fucking do that. But dear Lord.
Yeah, I don't have any desire to do that.
But, I'd say very cool game up and, you know, to a certain point. Like, I think it is more accessible than most shooters at first, and it has like really awesome power ups where it's like they build on like there's like four different types of power ups, like 1, 2, 3, 4. And but if you get the set like two times in a row, then your weapon gets like bigger and wider, and like so you can like keep leveling up whatever weapon you like, and so like your weapon just like fills up the whole screen. It's fucking crazy.
I am a little upset, like no legendary axe on it.
Never played that one, so I can't miss it.
It was like it was the pack in when you bought the system.
Mm-hmm.
And people think fondly of it. There's a couple other things. Like I enjoyed the TV sports games. Like they had TV sports basketball, hockey, and football. They were like a step up over like Nintendo era and
Nintendo sports.
Yeah, like those early ones. They weren't, you know, they were not the EA sports games of like that started coming out right after that, which is a reason that I eventually sold my TurboGrafx and got a Genesis.
Genesis was good for sports games.
Yeah. And they had the license too. Like the TV sports games were just like, you're the Sharks, like, but not like the San Jose Sharks. You're just like some team called the Sharks.
Back when sports games had personality.
It did. There was a personality to those games.
Some of those games are really fun, but honestly, I don't think anyone's ever topped ice hockey. That's Nintendo made, I think.
The original ice hockey is very good.
Nintendo made that, right?
I believe that is a Nintendo game, yeah.
I think that might be my favorite hockey. Well, I like hits a lot, too.
I would say 94 or 95 are...
Of course.
But anyway, mostly it's for $100. It's a pretty good system. So
I think everyone needs to discover the joy and magic of the TurboGrafx. But in all seriousness, they did a really good job with this. And
also, other cool thing: controller's USB, so it's not proprietary like the Nintendo ones.
Yeah, easy to use extension, but the cord is long, pretty long to begin.
Yeah, it's a nice long cord too. I think it's a 10-foot cord, so
I think it easily. Is. I got that, and I got 10-foot extension, so I got like a bunch of slack here. It's totally good.
Like I can sit all the way across the room.
Yeah.
So that's everything we've been playing. Any news this week?
Nothing exciting, which is weird. Because I get that E3's not happening, but we are kind of in the pre E3 window now.
Yeah.
And it seems like we'll have a lot of stuff next week to talk about, the way everybody on the internet seems to be teasing everything.
Am I hearing correctly that there is supposedly a Sony thing next week and a Sega thing?
There's supposed to be a Sony thing. They have not officially announced it yet. It's supposed to be on the 3rd, which is, I think, next Tuesday.
Okay.
We'll see. They have not announced it, but like, everybody and their mother seems to be teasing it, so I'm going to assume it's correct. But yeah, that is next week, hopefully. This week, we had a wholesome direct, which was like an indie direct, which, you know, was cute. I couldn't tell you any of the games there. I think the big news of this week, the news that everybody's excited for, probably the most anticipated video game announcement of the past decade, is that we're getting a Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie. Well, a Sonic 2 movie, but, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So people evidently like that movie. I still have not seen it, but people seem to enjoy it.
I enjoyed it, too. And, I mean, sadly enough, this is an actual true fact that can't be taken away for it yet, but it is the second highest grossing movie of the year.
Behind
Bad Boys for
that. Okay.
But I was going to say, you could make a case that yes, movies stop.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of evidence that, things happened.
Yes, it comes with several asterisks next to it. But as of right now, that is a true statement that Sonic the Hedgehog is the second highest grossing of 2020. So,
yes. All right.
And news that Tony might be excited for and nobody else.
Yeah.
EA has renewed their NFL license 5 more years.
Shocker.
I think people were kind of shocked because I think Sega was...
What?
Is Sega making an arcade football game?
2K is making an arcade NFL game.
Yeah. So I think people were surprised that they got the exclusive rights for it again. But yes, EA throws money at stuff.
I'm sure that the NFL loves the Madden Ultimate Team money that comes from that as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's a win-win. Especially now when the NFL is not doing any... I mean, I guess it's off-season anyhow for them.
Right.
So this is a bit of an interesting news. I don't think any of us are fans of this, but a new Dragon Quest game was announced. But it's not a traditional Dragon Quest. It's an action RPG. Which, and I could be completely wrong on this, it is a... RPG that's based off of an anime that's based off of a video game. So it's a video game based off of an anime based off of a video game. So it's the Street Fighter, the movie, the video game of...
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, that is very weird. But that is what they're going with. And it's just announced. We don't know what platforms or consoles is out for. It's out next year. This is probably just for me, and it's not even that important. Silent Hill characters are coming to Dead by Daylight DLC. Cherry Mason, who I believe is from Silent Hill 3.
Yep.
And Pyramid Head, which is from Silent Hill 2.
And I
know that because, and the movie. And I know that because a lot of nerds on the internet were reminding folks that these two aren't in the same game, so they should not be. Because apparently you have rules for a crossover video game where it's out of continuity for anything anyhow. But yeah. So yes, that is a thing that's happening. And I'm excited for that. New kids are always fun.
Do you still play Dead by Daylight?
Yeah. It's just a really nice kind... I don't want to say it's usually, but it is a nice game to kind of play with friends around this time of night.
Yeah.
What else did we get? Oh, yes. Microsoft announced that every Xbox One game that runs on the Xbox Series One will get an upgrade.
Okay.
To HDR, right?
I don't know. I think it's resolution and HDR, maybe. I don't know how that works. I assume it's a post-processing thing. I did not look into the details. I just saw people were super excited for that. And then, yeah, people were super excited for that. And I'll give them that over being cynical asses, so.
Yeah, I am, you know, I am down with games looking better. Older games looking better. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's, you know, another reason for you to, like, if you upgrade, it's like, I could still play these games, and they get a shiny coat of paint on them.
Yeah.
And I think
that could really, like, I mean, games like Gears 5 already look great, but if they're going to be able to improve them in some way, that they're going to look even better, like, that's going to be impressive.
Please make them look better. Any game.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Except people who like to look at ugly things.
I mean, they can still look at ugly things. Just not on the Series X.
I mean, you can only compensate for bad art style so much.
It's true.
And then, I guess, you know, the actual big news for people who are into that thing is that Sony had held a state of play for The Last of Us 2. Is it The Last of Us 2 or The Last of Us Part 2?
Last of Us Part 2.
Okay. And that is out in 2 weeks? So this was just kind of like a general overview of the game and what's new. You got a new trailer. You saw more gameplay with Ellie. They introduced some new enemy types. They focused on some stealth. You know, if you're a fan of The Last of Us, I assume this will be right up your alley.
Yeah. Am I the only one that's going to be playing that game? Which is funny, because I don't love the first one either, so...
The Last of Us?
Yeah.
No, I was happy with how the first one ended. I'm good.
Alright.
I didn't love the first one for its gameplay, so it's like...
Yeah.
The story was great. I thought, you know, it was like a movie that didn't need a sequel, and so I'm good.
I thought that the last Naughty Dog game, which was Uncharted Lost Legacy, I thought that, like, I wouldn't say maybe the gameplay was great, but the encounter design was better than it had been in previous Naughty Dog games. But yeah, I have not been a big fan of their gameplay since Uncharted 2. But I'm hoping that, like, you know, this has a decent story and maybe plays well. We'll see.
I think you can get one or the other, and I'm assuming it's not paying well.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, and for me, if I'm going to put, you know, like I thought The Last of Us was maybe a little too long. I think it was about 15, 16 hours. And the gameplay just kind of dragged for me, so we'll see. But I probably will still play it.
Okay. I mean, we're also still here for more and more weeks to go, so yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure about where Tony or Jeff are, but I don't think PA and New York are opening up anytime soon.
We're kind of opening up on Friday. And we are actually the only state that meets all of the Trump administration guidelines for work.
Which, by the way, are not scientifically accurate. Like, if your state meets all of those guidelines, it's like, if you talk to epidemiologists, like, it's still not enough to eliminate. Like, they're so relaxed that there's still a very, very strong chance of reoccurrence and an increase in the number of cases.
And but then think of that, like, there's so many states that are like totally reopened or reopened already and don't meet even those guidelines.
Yep.
So, basically just going to wash through the whole population.
Well, it's kind of like the United States is not designed to operate with everybody stuck in quarantine. So there are people who will literally starve to death.
Right.
Unless the government prints money to help people survive. So
they do not seem willing to do right now.
The whole point of the quarantine to begin with was to reduce the strain on the medical system. Like, it wasn't to prevent the spread of the disease, because I'm pretty sure the government and everyone in the government knows that they could do nothing to stop this.
The cat was out of the bag.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's at this point, like, there's a bunch of stuff you can do to stop yourself from getting it, maybe, if you're lucky. And otherwise,
or you had it already and you don't even know it.
Yeah, and they're discovering that the number of asymptomatic people was way higher than they thought it was.
Yes.
Like, it's not most one in people, five. It's like three in five.
Yeah.
And just because you're asymptomatic doesn't mean you can't get it later. So
yeah, I mean that's the big thing, is like, it's still so many unknown factors, and really, and like, you know, we have kids opening up because part of the opening up process is like we need to get back to work and stuff like that. And then what they're finding is, like, surprise, surprise, you open up, people don't trust anything, so people are not doing the things they normally do. Like, yes, you'll go, like, people go out, they'll have like one big event, and then it's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna stay inside because I don't want to get it. I don't want to get people sick. So it's one of those things where, again, like I mentioned when we started this quarantine, we're already at the beginning of this problem, because like, we're doing this vaccine. Yep. Our state's opening back up. We've lost 40 million jobs. Those are not going to come back in 2-3 weeks or 2-3 months. Restaurants are shuttered. Because like I said, I was just thinking about it. This is a super first world problem. It's like, even when it opens back up and we can go out, I'm like, I'm going to have to be at a bar with a face mask on. How the hell am I supposed to drink?
Yeah. Strong.
I love going to restaurants and I love going to bars, and I'm just like, it ain't worth it at this point. And or like, a great example is Disney World is opening back up in July. I had a trip to go in October, and you look at like what they're gonna do, it's gonna be like everyone's wearing masks, they're gonna be doing the distancing. It's like, I don't know, man, this doesn't seem fun to me. Like, it seems like that would just be like sad. Like,
yep.
You know, so it's like, I'm still canceling. I already did cancel one trip, and I'm just like, fuck it. It ain't happening until the shit's figured out, you know.
Until 2021. It's like, yeah, you go to Disney, and what happens is, like, you have the mask and everything. But it's also like, there's going to be no parades. There'll be no fireworks shows.
It's going to be, they're going to have to do diminished capacity. And so, like, I honestly feel like there's people that are going to go on vacation, and they're going to be like, sorry, the park is full for today. Like, you have to go do something else.
Yeah.
Like, well, I imagine it's Disney, so I assume they're going
to go to another park. Go to another resort.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, results are different as you all have your individual room, but hey, it's going to be like, okay, you can only have 50 people in the dining room for now, so you can come back in like 3 hours. It's going to be, I think what Disney's going to do.
It's going to be all fast pass.
Yeah, they're going to sell out of reservations for stuff. Like, oh, we don't want you to stay in the line, so here's a fast pass you can buy and you can come back and like.
That's already how it is, but think about it. Like, if they have to reduce the number of they could do in a day, it's going to be, everything is going to be like, every restaurant's going to be hard to get a reservation. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be hard to plan your trip, and that's a trip that you have to plan. You know? It's just going to be a pain in the ass.
Right.
And on top of it, like I said, like, I don't want to be there like with things the way they are. It's like, nah, dude. Like, I want Disney World to be fun. Like,
you go with me next year, Jeff.
Sounds good. Throw me in the trunk.
I will let you know where we're going. I am not driving. No.
No, you don't want to do that drive again?
I did that 3 years ago.
We crossed paths with you at some point. I remember that. Like, we're both driving through Tennessee at the same point. Like, we like just missed each other, actually.
And I never want to do that drive again.
My God, no. Why would you do that to yourself? Oh, my God, no.
It's beautiful country down there, though. Like, Tennessee especially.
Oh, yeah. It's not that, you know, the scenery isn't good. It's just that is a long drive to take with by yourself or like your family. It is even worse when you have four kids in the car.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
We'll hop on a plane. We'll be there in 2 hours.
True. I just say fine.
You mentioned Disney, like my big thing, and you know, I am going to the movies. It's like, when do I feel comfortable going out? Because I think we had this discussion. I had it with a friend, but it's like, okay, when movies open up, what are they going to do? You can't sell every other seat because that's not 6 feet apart. You can't sell every other row because then you're sitting next to people.
And then you can't survive if you can't sell out. Like, that's another thing. Like, I don't know.
Also, selling every other seat, you don't have to if the people are, like, you know, related or whatever. Because they're already living together.
Yeah.
How do you figure that all out?
Well, I mean, I feel like that isn't on the movie theater at that point. Because then that, I feel like that's on the consumer to be like, okay, this is my son or this is my significant other.
Right, but the movie theater has to have a system for seating those people differently from the other people.
You'd have to buy them at the same time. So, like, it's like, all right, I'm gonna buy four seats. Like, you can buy those together, but like, you know, if Jeff then wanted to join me for it, he can't sit next to me because he's buying it on his own app.
Right.
That's it.
And you've got a bunch of like programmers out there trying to program all this together.
Yep.
It's not happening.
What happened? What was recommended for my movie theater was you can only buy tickets in person, because then that cuts out of the guesswork. It's like, okay,
dude, and it's gonna be, you're gonna have to wear a mask. You're gonna have to wear a mask for sure.
And having to buy the tickets in person is like the worst part. Like, I hated always going to the theater. Like, oh, we're sold out. Like, being able to like buy ahead and pick your seat before you go there at all is the best part.
Yeah, it's why I stopped going to like theater. Like, everybody does assigned seating now, but like once that became a thing, I'm like, not going back. I get my seat. I don't have to, like, you don't have to worry about, you know, like people used to line up 2 hours before a movie came out so you could get a prime seat in the middle or IMAX. Don't have to worry about any of that. But at Jeff's point, like, you have to wear a mask. Part of what movie theaters make money off of is concession.
And you know they're still going to sell them, but it's just going to be – the whole thing is going to be fucked, dude. Like, I will risk my life to go see the new Halloween, though. That's a fact. That's the only movie, though. Like, that's the only movie I'm like – if you let me rent it at home, I'll rent it at home.
God, of all movies to choose, Halloween.
Yep, the new Halloween. I'm fucking excited.
I think if you go to Halloween, you deserve to catch coronavirus. I'm going to go.
That's a risk I'm willing to take.
I thought it was a Universal picture. Like, they might premiere that on
It is. It is Universal Picture.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's Blumhouse, but I think it's under Universal, like they're distributing or something.
Yes. Well, they had success with
the last one for sure.
Well, they had success with that Trolls movie, didn't they? And that kind of AMC to be like, we're not carrying their shit no more.
Dude, give me it on VOD. I don't care. As long as it doesn't get delayed, that's fine. I don't give a shit. In fact, like I said, you can put it in both, and I'll go with VOD over going to the theater.
It's going to get delayed. But I think what's going to happen, I hope, is that they delay it to next year and just be like, okay, we're going to have one start of October, one at the end of October.
Oh, that would be so fucking cool, dude.
Because I think that was the original plan was, like, I mean, that was, like, the original rumor around it was, like, it's a two-part movie, which it is.
It is, and, yeah.
But they would release one, like six, like, kind of like with the Matrix.
One this year, one next year.
Yeah, but, like, have, like, okay, one's in April, one's in November. Or, like, yeah, I do, like,
a Matrix sequel type thing?
Yeah, I do one, like, the second to last week of September, and then do a doublehead for Halloween itself. I think that would do well.
Sell me like a special package, like a double feature.
The only reason I'm against this is that means I would have to wait. But if you did that all at once this year, that'd be awesome.
That's not going to happen. Nobody's in a hurry to put their product in the market that isn't buying it. I think Tenet's supposed to come out in like 5 weeks, and they're still like, movie coming to theaters, and that's it. It's not a date or anything. Like, movie coming to theaters. I'm like, okay. You tell yourself that.
Do the VOD. Just do it.
Cowards. Did they move Top Gun back? Yeah, that's the end of the year now. It's a Christmas movie now.
Which makes sense for it, I think.
Yeah.
Even then, shit's not going to be solved. So I think at some point they have to bite the bullet and take the VOD revenue.
I think at some point, I mean, like, Trolls did well, but Trolls also doesn't have a massive budget. Like, you can't do Wonder Woman or Black Widow and VOD.
I don't see why not. But
they're not going to recoup $250 million.
I'm not opposed to that, Jeff. I don't see like some of these big movies though getting released that way. Halloween, definitely possible though, because like that budget's probably like what, $20 million?
Probably not even. Who knows?
Like, it's probably not a giant budget on that, so.
I mean, the last one, well, yeah. I don't know. I think people underestimate how much, like a big movie could still do on VOD. Like, why not?
I mean, part.
What reason, really? That's why we have the internet? I don't know, like.
Because you're not going to make the same amount of money you make in theaters.
Right.
And selling it to people again.
Charge more. I don't know. Charge 20. Like, they're charging $20. The theater's not going to make money off concessions.
But that's not how you're looking, like one person. Like, so let's say Wonder Woman, right? Wonder Woman comes out. I take my whole family of six. That's true. Almost $100 that they're getting out of me. Whereas, like, if I watch it at home, it's $20.
It's very cheap. Yeah. You got it.
Really, the big thing isn't necessarily that. It's really like, you take your whole family, then it's like, oh man, this is so great. I'm gonna go with my friends and they go see it next.
Yep.
Your daughters go see it with their friends. Then you're kind of getting that's the viral effect where people are seeing the movie and saying it two or three times. Then it comes out, you buy it on DVD, you buy it on Blu-ray, you buy digital. Then they sell the rights to HBO, you get money off of that. Then you sell the rights to, say, TNT, you get money off of that. So. With you mentioned Trolls World Tour, but like that movie came out last week that nobody remembers now.
Scooby.
Well, cut your marketing budgets and bite the bullet, and it's still fine, I'm sure.
Well, Scoob is a good example, but I was talking about the one with
the Lovebirds on Netflix.
Yes.
I like that.
But that's not like that. Nobody's talking about that, and that came out last week. That was a theatrical release.
Yeah.
Jeff and I talked about it.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah. But yeah, also, I don't think anybody would have, like, look, both of us liked it. I don't think that it would have dominated any sort of a
conversation. No,
it wouldn't.
Memorial Day weekend.
But it wasn't a summer movie. I think originally it was supposed to be like March or something like that. And it wouldn't dominate conversation, but it's like, oh, it's a cute date movie or something like that. I mean, from what I hear, it seems like it's kind of not forgettable, but it's like it doesn't do either what it wants to do right. It's not great.
It's just fine. Yeah. It's not like it's not super memorable. Like,
yeah, I think to Chris's point, I think Scoob is another great example of a movie that came out on VOD. And watching it on VOD, I'm like, I don't hate it, but I would hate it so much more if I paid money to see it. Yeah, in theaters. I mean, I didn't pay money either because, again, one of the problems with All Night is I did not pirate it, but a friend rented it, streamed it for all of us. Same difference, I guess.
Yeah.
But it means they got one payment.
Yeah, true.
I mean, there's still stuff to work out with that, but not us. We don't have to work it out.
Oh, I mean, just to tie this all together again, I forgot if we talked about this or not on the previous episode. Did we talk about the fact that the Tenet premiered, it's Troia and Fortnite?
It's in Fortnite. I don't think we did.
Which I did not see, but I mean, part of it is kind of nifty. That Fortnite is really kind of the only place to do a big live event right now, because you're not getting sports, you don't have any award shows, you don't have any other movie theaters, so it's nifty in that regard. But yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, so to tie it all together with movies and video games, there we go.
So, debut Halloween Kills in Fortnite.
There you go.
At a Rusty Reels. Jeff, you're going to have to go into Fortnite to watch Halloween.
Fuck that shit, dude.
That's it. He's like, yeah. He will go to the theater and catch coronavirus. He will.
He's not playing Fortnite.
He'll buy it on VOD, but he will not go into Fortnite to watch it.
Guess it on principle. I don't know what principle, but some principle.
Well, we'll be back next week. I don't know if there's anything. Well, Earl, you're going to be playing Xenoblade
again. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Yes. I don't think that's the title, but yes.
It's not Xenoblade again?
It's not Xenoblade again. No, this is the third time it's coming out. That's actually the third time I'm buying it, so there's that. Yes, I don't know. And then, is something else coming out this week? Oh, there's that game I might check out if I have time. It's called, not A Bug's Life, that is a Pixar movie. A Bug's Tale? It is apparently an indie RPG inspired by early Paper Mario game. And it's got really good reviews. So,
What's that out on? Switch? Or?
Yes, I know it's out on Switch. I think it's out on PC as well.
Okay.
I don't know if it's on other consoles. It's just Nintendo fans talking about it, so.
Sounds fun. And then we'll continue to play stuff. There's always new stuff on Game Pass that we're trying, so I'm sure we'll have some of that as well. And news. We do know that, well, we don't know, but we're speculating that there's that Sony conference. I had heard that there's also Sega is announcing something next week. We should start getting announcements because it is technically, it would be the week before E3, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it would have been pre-E3 week. And I'm trying to see if I could find it, because somebody posted a schedule. Okay, so yes. June 2nd, I think Mel Gibson's doing, I don't know what that is. June 3rd, a PlayStation event. June 4th is a Steam event. 2K has there's no date, but it's supposed to be sometime in early June. IGN has The Outsiders and Merge Games. And then I think June 6th is an Indie Expo. So, I mean, again, doesn't mean there's going to be a ton of games, but yes, we should have news next week.
Yeah. Listening to the Bombcast this week, Gerstmann said that he is able to talk about stuff starting next week. So,
yeah.
So I guess there's stuff that he has seen and probably other outlets have seen that they're going to be able to start talking about. So good. Next gen coming.
Yay.
What was that, Jeff?
I want Nintendo announcements, which I know I'm not going to get.
I mean, you might get something. It might just not, you know.
It's not going to be Metroid or Mario yet, Jeff.
It's not going to be anything super fancy. I mean, it's Nintendo. Like, they could really announce a game right now and it just be like, yeah, it's Nintendo.
I'm asking just for old collections. That's all I'm asking for Nintendo. Drop them.
They will, just not now. They'll drop them later when you're
like, they already said
need these now.
They're not doing a direct for June, so it's like, okay.
Yeah, but they're announcing games. Like, they announced Paper Mario. I mean, Nintendo's doing the Nintendo thing. They focus at one game at a time. Xenoblade's out tomorrow. Then I think the next focus is Clubhouse Games, which is out in 2 weeks. Then I assume there'll be smaller games in between that and Paper Mario in August. And then we'll see.
This is making me sad.
Metroid in August, Jeff, and then
I would like one of those collections for the summer. Get me through these long summer, cold summer nights.
Yeah. Again, they're giving you 100 plus hour RPG tomorrow.
They're not giving that to me because I don't want it.
I don't want that one. Don't give that to me.
I played that game. It's all right, you know, but it's not like good enough where I'm like gonna just buy. I don't even know which one it is, but
it's the original one. You played X,
the sequel. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever, it's fine, but not fine enough.
I think this one's better than X personally, even though X does have giant mechs.
Giant mechs in the original?
No.
Oh, X fuck is that. That's the whole point of the game.
X is the only one that has giant mechs. 2 doesn't have giant mechs either, so.
I take back everything I said. Why would you buy that?
Well, I was going to say, personally speaking, it's one of my favorite games of all time. That's why I would buy it again. So, yes.
Well, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it next week, because I've tried that game, and it did not click. But maybe a different control system will work for me.
Could help.
So I played it on the Wii, so.
I'm curious to see some of the quality of life changes they're making as well. So we'll see. But yes, shall we wrap it up?
Yes. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.